And now more Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker at Wham! Talk 1600. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern, also available on our YouTube channel, also called Operation Freedom. Put up two new YouTubes every week, Tuesday morning by 8, Friday morning by 8. In addition, we're available at DaveJanda.com, both the free side, the public side, and also the subscription side with the extra shows, Insider Insight Show, WTF Show, our healthcare series, Department of Advanced Research Show, the archives to all of those shows, plus the podcast, not just from today that are available 24/7 for our subscribers, but for every show of Operation Freedom back to our inception of October of 2010. A lot going on in the world. As we discussed earlier today, there was appears to be a attack on Saudi Arabia, their oil facilities. There's a question that the oil market's going to be a bit unstable starting tonight when markets open and going into tomorrow. And I can't think of a better person to have with us than a good friend of mine who is a regular on this platform, General Paul Vallelet. A little background on Paul. He retired from the United States Army as Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army in the Pacific, Honolulu, Hawaii. Paul graduated from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and was commissioned in the Army, serving a distinguished career of 32 years. Paul is a graduate of the Infantry School, the Ranger and Airborne Schools, the Jump Master School, and the Command and General Staff School, the Industrial College of the Armed Forces, and the Army War College. Paul has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. Paul served in many overseas theaters, to include Europe and the Pacific Rim countries, as well as two combat tours in Vietnam. He has served as a consultant to the commanding general of the Special Operations Command as well. General Vallelet has been a military analyst on television and radio for many years, folks, and I know you've seen him. He is also a guest lecturer on national security, international political, economic issues, strategic planning matters, and the global war against radical Islam and other threats to America. He and another good friend of ours, Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, authored the book Endgame, Blueprint for Victory, for winning the war on terror. Bottom line, folks, if I was pushed to describe Paul in just a sentence, I would say he's the combination of General George Washington and General George S. Patton. It is my honor to welcome back to our platform General Paul Vallelet. Paul, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Well, thank you, Dave. Happy to be back with you, as always, on these wonderful Sundays to discuss all the issues of the world facing us.
Paul, how you doing? I understand your commanding officer, Muffin, had you in some hardcore home chores earlier today. How are you faring? Are you doing okay?
Well, I've finished them, but unfortunately, I missed the initial scheduling of the show. I apologize for that.
It's okay. Live radio, but it's okay. We had a spot for you. You know, did your commanding officer at least let you have some water while you were having to do all this manual?
Huh? Absolutely.
And she's getting soft. She's getting soft. That's good to hear. So, Paul, let's talk about the geopolitics right now in the world, and then I want to go to a great article you wrote about the rule of law. Paul, let's start recently. You were in Washington, and you went to the White House, correct?
I did.
Right. And you want to educate our listeners about that, because actually you discussed with folks at the White House about Iran, correct?
Correct.
Enlighten us.
Well, I had received some documents through my Iranian liaison, John Naimi, who departed Iran in 1979 when the Shah fell. And John, through an organization called Cyrus Force Iran, has great intelligence sources coming from Iran into the United States to him. Mm-hmm. And he has been attempting to provide this information to the State Department and to the White House for the past year on different situations, what's going on inside Iran. And one of the problems is we never hear back once we provide these intel reports. It's like in the box. You know, once you're in the box, nobody wants, they don't want to talk to you if you're outside of the box.
Right.
Is the easiest way to explain it. But what we did is delivered some confidential documents, which I can reveal now, which indicates the alternate sources Iran has been using to get their crude oil out of Iran into the international marketplace. And unbeknownst even to the CIA, and we've seen all the action on the freighters transiting, you know, through the Mediterranean of Iranian oil tankers. But what they've been doing is a side door thing across the Persian Gulf into Oman, O-M-A-N. And so they've secretly been pushing their oil through Oman and then making sure that it exits out to their different customers, one being China, for example, and Syria. And so the Iranians are very clever in how they've been doing this. And, of course, then after that, what we've had just the last few days is the Iran-initiated actions against the Saudi oil fields. Now, we do know from a second intel source inside Iran that the Iranians have as their objective to capture all the oil fields in northeast Saudi Arabia. They want to capture those and hold on to them. We also released that information to the National Security Council. So that was the crux of my visit to the White House.
Paul, how was that information received?
From the White House?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we had it hand-delivered into the executive office building at the NSC offices there for John Bolton. And we haven't heard back, but we've been through this before. We provide intel, but nobody ever comes back, even through the Bush White Houses when we provided a lot of intel from Afghanistan and Iraq at the time, but it's just the way they do business at the White House. That doesn't mean they don't take it and use it. We know they do, but they never come back and give you any credit for it. And that sort of frustrates our Iranian intel links from the U.S. Inside Iran, that we never hear back anything or thank you or whatever. It's very frustrating.
Paul, you had mentioned earlier in this segment that and this is not the first time this has been the case. With your work in Syria was another example that I think we can point out.
Correct.
You have people on the ground, a network on the ground in these hotspot geopolitical locations.
Correct.
That the CIA does not.
Exactly.
Now, Paul, what are these guys doing?
Well, they become desk jockeys, analysts, and even the CIA operatives we have in the various embassy and consulates throughout the world. I'll give you a good example. I invited the station chief from CIA in Istanbul when I was asked to go in and analyze and find out what support the Free Syrian Army needed against the Assad regime. So I made two trips inside there. And the CIA station chief wouldn't go in. He wanted to stay in. He wanted to stay in his office inside Istanbul. Of course, I went in with 400 men, and that's all can be viewed on YouTube. If you type in Paul Vallely Syrian Opposition Liaison Group, you can see our trek into that time, 2012, which was the most dangerous city in the world, and that was Aleppo, the second largest city in Syria. Mm-hmm. And so our operatives that we have through our intel network go even into Russia and the Ukraine. I have a very good source out of Moscow that briefs me on Ukraine and what's happening there. And so, again, we get this intel. But going back to the CIA again, we destroyed our human intelligence operations for the most part all over the world for the last three decades. And so we're hiring a lot of people to go in, and they sit in the offices and they analyze things, but we don't have those connections and that human network on the ground that we used to have that was very vital for the United States in developing their threat analysis and, you know, basically analyze the threats out there against the United States.
Well, you know,
it's pitiful. The CIA just does. I mean, even the president doesn't trust the CIA, but he does trust the military intelligence guys, by the way.
Well, and so this is, you know, in medicine, Paul, if you have bad data as a physician, a surgeon, if you have bad data, you make bad decisions.
Exactly.
For the patient. Well, the same thing is true here, Paul. If we're getting bad data or no data out of the agency that's supposed to be like the primo data organization when it comes to geopolitical issues for our country, that being the CIA, if we're not getting any data or bad data because our human intelligence system has been destroyed, it's only going to lead to bad decisions.
Well, that's right. And even other countries do not have faith in providing their intelligence. The British, the French, for example, even the Germans providing it to the CIA because they're not a trusted organization from their viewpoint anymore, as it's not a trusted organization for us to know what's going on in the CIA. Just if we look at the last 2 years and the Russian collusion and the CIA, FBI, hierarchy, basically, John Brennan, who really started the whole Russian collusion thing, what was his job? He was the head of the CIA.
Yeah, it sure was.
So there you go. There you go, David. Now you can see how this has evolved into a very frustrated president that's had to go to the military intelligence, defense intelligence, and also an intelligence outfit that's run out of Northern Virginia, some 850. That's all they do. Is to gather intelligence from around the world because the military are on the ground, as you know, throughout the world, gathering intel and then processing it back through the Pentagon and through the Defense Intelligence Agency.
You know, it's interesting when you brought up about not trusting the CIA and only trusting, you know, military intelligence. I go back a period of time, and Admiral Ace Lyons, who is a friend of yours, and I'm honored to have said a friend of mine, and was a regular on the show as well until his passing in December of 2018. Ace used to say to me, David, I don't trust intel from any other source than the military intelligence contacts I've developed over the years.
Exactly. There you go. And Ace knew that better than I because he worked in the Washington area for the last 15 years. And so he was very close to that. And that's why we developed, as you may remember, all that intel on what happened in Benghazi.
Yeah.
And had all the facts that we gave Craig Gowdy. And we provided him great intel on specific people that were on duty at that time, what they were doing. The fact we had assets on the in the area to launch a rescue operation. And that's where Ace and I got very frustrated because Trey Gowdy quit on us.
Yeah, he fumbled the ball, didn't he?
Sure did.
You know, Paul, we speak about the anniversary on 9/11 of 2001. I did a video this week on that, but also the anniversary in 9/11/9/12 of 2012, that being Benghazi. You know, Paul, this year, I believe, has been really remarkable on that anniversary front because of your efforts and the efforts of several whistleblowers in particular who have come on our platform on DaveJanda.com, the subscription side, and then our subscribers actually asked we release these interviews to the public through YouTube, which we did. But we've had Charles Woods, the father of Ty Woods, come on and speak very frankly of what he found out about what really happened. We've had you on a number of occasions speak about it, and we've had two people who were in the field of operations that night, Nick Noe and Josh Salmon, come forward and speak about Benghazi. And, you know, we just did an interview with Harley Schlanger, and he was speaking about General Flynn, and he had mentioned that General Flynn, that one of the reasons why he was targeted by the deep state is because General Flynn had come forward and testified, and I believe a closed-door hearing it was in front of Congress, about what really was going on in Benghazi as far as it being a weapons-running operation, which you and Admiral Lyons and Tom McInerney and a number of other people in the Citizens Commission from Benghazi outlined. Yet, I really believe the ball has been really pushed down the field because of the efforts of you and of Nick Noe and Josh Salmon and Charles Woods and Mike Ingmeyer, another regular on the show, whose nephew Sean Smith was one of the victims in Benghazi.
Right.
But you know, Paul, the vast majority of the American public still does not have a clue what Benghazi was about and how Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were complicit in not only the weapons running operation, but the murder of those four Americans.
Yes, that's right. And, of course, then the murder, assassination of Gaddafi, who should have been left in power there, for goodness sakes, you know. That's a whole other discussion, but they made so many mistakes in Egypt. And so much was done to destroy a lot of things over 8 years of Obama and Clinton and then John Kerry. It's just absolutely almost criminal, their negligence.
Well, you mentioned the word criminal, and this brings me to an article you wrote along with Brigadier General Charles Jones from the United States Air Force, retired. Why is the rule, I'll go at the beginning and then I'll let you take it, Paul. Why is the rule of law important to the law and order of a country? The rule of law must be applied evenly across the United States judicial system. This application of law must apply to senior officials of our government and to the individual citizen. The rule of law is the legal principle that law should govern a nation as opposed to being governed by arbitrary decisions of individual government officials.
Well, no, that's exactly right. And if you look at the rule of law, again, as defined in the Oxford English Dictionary, it is the authority and influence of law in a society, especially when viewed as a constraint on individual and institutional behavior. In this case, if we're talking about the deep state and all the organizations like Department of Justice, CIA, FBI, we call that institutional behavior by the definition, the principle whereby all members of a society, including those in government, are considered equally subject to publicly disclosed legal codes. There you go.
And you mentioned in this article that how is the government limited by the rule of law? The U.S. Constitution establishes the rule of law limiting the government's power over its citizens. This is why, Paul, the deep state has targeted the Constitution.
Yes, intentionally, by plan.
So what?
And many of the socialists, the Democrats, are doing it, and we've seen what they've done. Even look at the debates; you can see how there wasn't even a flag. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
the Democratic, not even an American flag.
No,
and many of them, not all, want to see the Constitution changed or even go away. That it's not effective anymore. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
It's an antiquated
preservation of the republic. It's critical for the future of America, and that's why we have to have judicial justice here, when you call that, that's equally applied across the board, whether you're in government or you're an individual citizen.
And that's why so many people are frustrated right now, Paul, because they look at this coup, this attempted coup of the president, and they have yet to see somebody in an orange jumpsuit or handcuffs.
That's what's frustrating. We keep waiting for Attorney General Barr. They have all the facts. They knew who was guilty, who initiated this Russian collusion that's tied down the government for so long and cost so much money. What did the Mueller investigation cost? 2.5 years and, I don't know,
35 million, yeah.
Was it $35 million or something like that?
30 to $35 million,
yeah. Yeah, and that's our money that they're spending. And the unlawful attempt to do a silent coup on a duly elected president. So Barr has got to come out with things now and quit delaying these things and show that the rule of law does apply to those senior government officials that were involved in the silent coup.
And the bottom line is the sooner the better, because this cannot continue, because the longer this goes, the more frustrated people become, the more disengaged people become, Paul.
And the less effective our government is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Congress does. I'm not even sure what the Supreme Court does anymore, that they're not upholding more of the rule of law and taking more positive action rather than sitting back and wait for something to come to them. This is very frustrating. Do you think I'm exaggerating too much, David, when I bring these things up?
No, I think you're being very soft-spoken, actually, a little bit on it, Paul, because the truth of the matter is, and you might disagree with this, I believe one of the reasons why these entities have become so ineffectual, Congress, Supreme Court, is because they're all compromised. They're all leveraged. They're all bribed, blackmailed, or all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds very cynical, Paul, but I believe that's the case.
Well, it is, and then they come up with these issues like blaming white males for everything that's bad in our society. It was the white males that came over from England that founded this country, and then other countries from Spain, Italy, Germany, and so on. They keep targeting, and this racial divisiveness is just horrible. Now, people ask me, what's the biggest threat to America? Biggest threat to America right now is our own government and these liberal socialist groups who are trying to take over and destroy the Constitution. They're a bigger threat than China or Russia. And then our borders. We've got to be at home here, take care of business, and quit spending so much time. We'll let our military take care of watching what the Chinese do, for example. But we've got to take charge and get this country on track, and that's what the president is attempting to do. But he doesn't even have any Republicans with the fire in their belly to do anything, other than a few.
Paul, how can folks follow you? They need to follow you on a regular basis.
Well, they can email me at standupamericausa1@gmail.com or go to our website, standupamericaus.org, and we'll be happy to provide them any information they need.
Paul, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Stand Up America US, folks. Remember the US. standupamericaus.org. Until next week, Dave Janda signing off. Dream big and dare to fail. Thanks for joining us today.